Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, it's Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer. You know, this show plays that song so often, it just might go to number one. Census figures released last week that they reveal that New York City has the country's highest percentage of women who have never been married. And we have a very high percentage of men who have never been married. Here to discuss what this reveals about how we live now is Devira Cohn, senior writer at the Pew Research Center. Hello, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So 41% of New York City women have never been married. What's wrong with the guys here?
Well, let's not look at it that way. This is part of, you could ask what's wrong with women. The fact is that marriage is changing all over the country, and what's going on in New York to some extent reflects big national pattern changes that we've seen in the past few decades. Everybody is less likely to be married now than a few decades ago. You know, nationally, about half of adults are married now. A few decades ago, back in, say, 1960, more than 70% of adults were married. So there's a larger story going on here that marriage has become less central and less important in Americans' lives. People also are marrying later. That is, those who do get married marry at older ages. So if you're looking at the whole adult population, it's more meaningful to look at those who are, say, over 30 than those who are under 30 because, for example, in New York State, half the men who get married for the first time are 30 years old or older.
As marriage goes down or marriage rates go down, do divorce rates also go down? In other words, are we getting better at being married?
That is a great question, because most people do think that divorce rates are going up, and in fact, they have been going down for the last few decades. And one theory about that is that the people who do get married are more likely to have lasting marriages than folks who got married in the days of the peak divorce rates. One thing that we're seeing as far as who gets married these days is marriage increasingly is something that people do if they're college educated rather than not college educated. Or let me put it another way. It used to be that if you had a college education or you didn't have a college education, you were about equally likely to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, marriage rates have gone down for everybody, but they've gone down much more sharply for less educated Americans. So now college-educated Americans are the most likely to be married. They have the highest marriage rates, and their marriages are more stable. They're more likely to last. There are a number of reasons for that, but that may be one of the reasons that the divorce rate has stabilized or gone down.
Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-9692, and play amateur sociologist or just observer of the human condition if you're not married or you're among a circle of friends who aren't, and maybe we aren't touching on some of the reasons. The non-college educated people who haven't been married, are they replacing, or is everyone else replacing marriage with something else like extended cohabitation?
Right. There's a lot of that, and especially among less educated Americans. And not only are they living together in lieu of getting married, they're also, of course, having children without being married. And so as a result, about 4 in 10 births now is to a woman who's not married. Many of those women are living with the father of the child, but they don't have a legal marriage.
And there is big debate in this country if the decline of marriage is that bad for children. And oftentimes it's not compared to some countries in Europe where marriage is really unpopular, but they seem to have replaced it with another idea, such as extended cohabitation, that in many cases in those countries isn't bad for children. You know, you have to take everything into account. Have you been following this debate and have anything to add to it?
Well, the nature of cohabitation in the United States is somewhat different from the nature of cohabitation in Europe, it seems. There's been some work by a sociologist named Andrew Cherlin who talks a lot about the serial nature of relationships that Americans have. That is, we tend to want to couple up, but then we break up. So we have more breakups than they do in Europe. And cohabitation here tends to be more unstable than in Europe. Now, who knows? That may change. But for the moment, it's much more of an institution in Europe with stability and long-term. There's more of a long-term nature to it than there seems to be in the U.S. That isn't to say that some couples don't last for years here cohabiting. But for the moment, it does seem to be a more unstable institution here.
And can the laws have an effect? Do laws in the Scandinavian countries where non-married child raising seems to have now become the norm and a successful norm? I know that there's different alimony or whatever the version of alimony is laws. There's different tax break. Can laws have an effect on making cohabitation without marriage more stable?
I haven't looked into that, so I probably shouldn't say much about it. But you're right that there are more laws that go to the institution of cohabitation and assume that it's more like marriage than we tend to assume here in the U.S.
Well, Devir Cohn of the Pew Research Center, if your goal is to be a ubiquitous media pundit, recusing yourself when you don't know the answer is no way to achieve that goal.
I'm so sorry.
Bonnie from Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Bonnie.
Yes, I feel I have an interesting story. I moved into my apartment in 1979, and on my floor there were four, including me, four single women. We were all about 30. I'm still in the same apartment, and I'm in touch with the other three women, and none of us have married. We're all now approximately 60.
And why?
Well, I have a very poetic reason. I call it the room of one's own reason, Virginia Woolf's beautiful little book, a room of one's own, where she stated that what a woman really needs is independence by being able to have a place of your own, and we were all able to rent small and expensive apartments 30 years ago.
Wow, that's interesting. I guess the question it raises for me is cause and effect. Does New York attract people who aren't apt to be married or somehow cause them to decide against marriage? What do you think, Devira?
Well, it certainly makes it easy not to be married because you're surrounded by other people. It's easy to get around. You're not in a place where everything is centered around kids and married couples. I don't know which is the reality. That is, does it attract people or make it easy for them? And what? But the fact is that it's very. It is. You are able to be surrounded by people like you in New York City in a way that you might not be in a more family-centered suburban environment.
One note about the census, which measures the never married people starting at the age of 15. 15? Well,
yeah.
How
it used to be 12.
12?
Well, a couple hundred years ago, people did marry at younger ages.
So now, 200 years and we've gained 3 years in terms of counting that statistic. Why do they go that low?
They want to have some kind of historic comparison. I mean, it is possible to pull out the numbers for older age groups, and you could do that by going into the census numbers, but they want to have a standard trend. They want to be able to look back over time and say how things have changed.
Another stat from the census is that 46% of New York men are never married at the time of the survey, and yet the 41% of women statistic got so much more attention. Why is that?
Well, again, I'm not going to go too far into that, but let me just say, if you look at men's magazines and you look at women's magazines, which ones have articles about getting married?
So what you're saying is New York is the publishing center of the world. No, I think I know what you're saying. Mr. Cam of New Rochelle, New York. Hello, Mr. Cam. How are you?
Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I lived in New York for many years. Things seem very amicable there. I'm getting off on a slightly different tangent. A lot of affairs, a lot of flirting, and so on. On the other hand, the last time I looked, they averaged around 20% for their divorce rates, and ours was 60%. I'd like to know if ours has come any closer to theirs, and whether we're doing any better at getting along with each other.
I think I missed the first. Who are we comparing the United States to?
The European Union.
Oh, EU countries.
Yeah, it's 20% there on the average.
Do those stats strike you as correct?
I don't know. I haven't looked closely enough to see. So I can't really comment on.
Do you know? And I know you said the U.S. divorce rate is going down. Do you know where it stands now?
I don't have the number right in front of me. Sorry, but I do think it's not half of marriages. It's certainly less than that.
Right. It's the old trope that half of marriages end in divorce. We've been saying that forever, no matter what the real facts are. Rachel from Brooklyn. Hello, Rachel. You're on WNYC.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
I was talking to the women who answered the phone, and I was explaining that I've been with my boyfriend for 7 years. We're domestically partnered for health insurance reasons, but we don't plan on having children, so we don't understand the point of getting married. Our friends are always saying, well, don't you want to get married? It's like, well, we're together. We've been together for 7 years, and why spend $20,000 on a big party for our friends when we can, we have our commitment with each other?
Well, thanks for the call, Rachel. And do we hear any of that? I mean, I don't know how much you've looked into the people behind the numbers, but is there a growing sentiment that marriage is not even a goal that I strive for and something that doesn't really make sense to me?
I think a lot of people still do want to get married. That we did a survey a couple of years ago asking people, you know, do you want to get married? And a lot of people do. At the same time, there's a growing recognition or belief by some that marriage may be obsolete. We had about 39% say that it is. But, you know, the caller raised an interesting issue. She said, why should we spend all this money on a marriage? And there is a recognition, I think, by many people that they need to be financially secure in order to be married. Now, I don't know if that's the issue for this caller, but for many people who are lower income, whose jobs may not be stable, they may not feel that they can support a family or a spouse if one of them loses a job. And that seems to be something that stands in the way of some people getting married.
Do we know if marriage tracks with general economic statistics?
Well, there isn't good evidence about marriage trends in economic times, but one of the things we do know, as I mentioned earlier, is that the highest educated people, the ones who presumably have the best jobs, are the most likely to be married these days, whereas people with high school educations or less have a much lower marriage rate. And some of that may have to do with the financial security they feel. In surveys we've done, most people say that a man needs to be financially able to support a family in order to get married. Not a lower share says that about a woman, but the point is that finances still are a consideration for people in the decision whether to get married.
Madge from Brooklyn says she has a hard time finding exceptional men to set her friends up with. Does this gel with what you're seeing, the lack of exceptional men? I mean, in your surveys, how frequent an answer is there's just not the right person to marry out there?
Well, we haven't really asked that question directly, but let me talk a little bit about another report we did about what you might call the marriage marketplace. So you might know these days that there are more women graduating college than men. It's in the high 50% of graduates now are female, which means that among young people today, really anybody under 40, there are more women who are college graduates than men. And, of course, in the past, men would marry women with less education. They might marry a college graduate, might marry a high school graduate, and nobody thought that was unusual. Now we're seeing an increasing share of women who are college graduates marrying men with less education, or even women who are high school graduates marrying men who have lower education levels than they do. We're seeing a growing share of couples where the wife earns more than the husband. So we're seeing a little bit of a realignment in the marriage partnership, the marriage marketplace, you might say, that seems to be tracking women's increasing achievements and economic status.
So, and it just might be that women no longer need marriage as the means of sustainability and having a nice life.
Certainly, if you can support yourself, you don't need a husband to support you, but there are plenty of other reasons to marry than just straight economics.
Well, I'm glad we had this whole discussion and the phrase fish and bicycle never came up, because that's a glory cliche as well. Thank you, Devera Cohen, senior writer at the Pew Research Center.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all our callers. The conversation continues at our show page and on our Facebook page and in Twitter and probably on JDate somewhere. We'll be back in a moment.